Town, written by Sean Prescott and read by Tim Potter. It was only possible to see the full extent of the town if you spent many years there. Only then could you see the barriers shimmer at its edges and know what the edges meant. It was only possible after many years in the town to notice the strangeness of certain aspects of familiar visions. Only then could you stand at the foot of a quiet street and at a certain time of day and from a very specific angle, pretend that you were somewhere else. It was possible to stand at the foot of the old gasworks and to stare upwards and to believe that briefly you had gained access to one of those speculative worlds outside of the town. When inside certain towns, the rest of the world disappears. So it only makes sense that to the rest of the world, certain towns are forever disappearing, or else they appear as a figment, or as a ghost town, or as a spot on a map purely decorative. A spot carefully placed by a cartographer anxious to fill a lonely space. When I arrived in the town, I needed to find a cafe in which to regularly sit and which could serve as headquarters for friends once I'd made them. Searching a shopping plaza, I chose a Michelle's Patisserie in view of the Big W. At the head of the escalators, a man sold Australian flag fridge magnets and tea towels. I sat inside the cafe and thought, well, this is a start. I now have a location to meet people once I've met them and it's civilised. The plaza was typical of plazas in towns of the Central West and belonged to one of two major corporations competing for dominance in the area. I drank my first coffee and thought about my journey there as a means to reward my past self with acknowledgement of how, back then, only hours ago, I'd suspected in the back of my mind that I would not arrive anywhere at all. Later on, I wandered the plaza. I looked at the sanity and thought about the CDs I would buy once I found a job. Then I browsed the Angus and Robertson and made mental notes of the books I would purchase and read and discuss with the people I would meet in the cafe opposite the Big W once I'd met them. Then I bought a cheese and bacon pull-apart from the Baker's Delight and sat in the food court eating. The main street of the town ran five blocks, each block bordered by minor thoroughfares that were also lined with shops. I'd dreamed about this town before. In my dream, there was a second-story flat on one cross street. The flat overlooked a petrol station, and I sat on the balcony with a woman. We smoked cigarettes there and sipped from schooner glasses of beer. I suppose this dream was born of the journeys I'd made through this town in the past, along the main street, travelling from one town to some other, never stopping on the way, not even for refreshments. This dream was not a catalyst for my arrival in the town, but when I arrived on that day, I tricked myself into believing it was. It was an important dream, I recall thinking, hoping to lend gravity to the occasion, though I knew at the time that I was lying to myself. It was a harmless thing to lie to oneself about.